met each one this evening, and we do give everyone a very warm welcome in their service tonight. In the name of the Lord, and just pray that God will have his way and bless each one. That's a wonderful song we've been singing. Jesus was slain for me at Calvary. And so true, isn't it? It's because of Calvary. There's another wee song says, because of Calvary, my soul has been set free. Because of Calvary. We thank the Lord tonight because of Calvary. And this evening I want to continue with a subject from the Tabernacle series on the table of the golden table. On the night we're looking at the table spread, continuing from this morning. And if anyone's listening in and you want to follow any of the messages and the other brothers that here preach as well, it's on our church website, omegaministry.co.uk. Or if you put in Omega Ministry Bond Bridge, you'll get all the sermons under the archives. Brother Matthew updated them just the other day. And you can go right back in there to a long time back. There's lots of different messages, even from the visiting preachers. And then next Sunday, we're going to have a brother Andrew preaching with us for the two services. He'll be here in the morning and the evening. And he'll be live with us as well on the Sunday evening service. So tune in and hear Brother Andrew preaching. We really enjoy it when a Brother Andrew comes. It's been quite a time from he's been here because of all the rules and regulations with the COVID. But we just thank the Lord that we're coming back to some type of a normality. Praise God. The Lord bless you this evening. And let us remember we Elijah as well tonight. Gary's oldest boy, he's given us testimony tonight. And the boys are singing as well. They've been invited, and that's wonderful to share your testimony, just a young man. Pray for me. You don't know what God can do with some of these young fellas. And we just pray the Lord will bless them and use them for his glory. Amen. Let us turn to Leviticus chapter 24, verse 5 to 8 this evening. And I want to just try and continue on tonight from this morning. And also in Exodus 25, we went through many of the scriptures this morning from Exodus, and but this evening I want to read from Leviticus 24, 5 to 8, but those if you want to study it, you could study it in Exodus as well, chapter 25. Leviticus 24, verse 5 to 8. And thou shalt take fine flour and bake 12 cakes thereof. 2/10 deal shall be in one cake. And thou shalt set them in two rows, six on a row upon the pure table before the Lord. And thou shalt put pure frankincense upon each row, that it may be on the bread for the memorial, even an offering made by fire unto the Lord. Every Sabbath he shall set it in order before the Lord, continually being taken from the children of Israel by an everlasting covenant. Let's just bow our heads this evening while we ask for the Lord's blessing. Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you tonight that we have a great privilege because of Calvary. We thank you that it is finished, that you paid the ultimate price of our salvation on the cross, and everyone may come, and whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We thank you this evening for God's great plan of redemption. I pray tonight in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll help us to grasp these truths of your word. May we see Jesus Christ tonight, uplifted and glorified. Help us, Lord, to lift you off these pages. I do take the Holy Ghost to help me now, in the name of Jesus Christ. Pray for we Elijah tonight as he testifies, and as they sing, Lord, that you'll bless them and make them a blessing. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Bless everyone in this room and bless those that's tuned in tonight. And Lord, for Mary, we pray you'll continue to touch her and heal her. In the name of the Lord. And for Sister Candace, that you continue to touch her and heal her. In the name of the Lord. And for David as well, continue to touch and heal him. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, for any others this evening and need your touch, save the lost. Restore the backslidden and heal those that need your healing. For these blessings we ask in and through the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Praise God. You may be seated this evening. You know, when you look at the tabernacle, and we've been looking at the tabernacle, and this table of showbread is in the holy place. And if you were to come through the door into the holy place, and we spoke about the door or the gate the other week, the table is on your right hand side and the seven golden candlesticks is on your left. Then when you go on past that, you come to the golden altar of incense. So there's three things in the holiest of holies, and we're looking again this evening at this table. And we saw this morning that the table was made from the wood, the Shittim wood, which speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground, Isaiah 53 verse 2. Then the gold speaks of God, speaks of deity. And the crown round about it speaks of his authority, because it's royalship and kingship. And there's the picture of them three emblems, or them three things in the holy place that our brothers put up. And all them speak of the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, when you're looking at this tabernacle, God gave instructions to Moses. When he brought the children of Israel out of Egypt, God said that I'll bring you out and you will worship me on this mountain. And we know that God met Moses, and the first thing he said to him was, take your shoes off, or your sandals, for you're standing on holy ground. And he commissioned Moses to go down, and Moses said, you know, who will it say sent me? And he said, I am. I've sent you down. And you know the whole story of it. I think there was a film on the other day about it, the Ten Commandments. It's quite a good film, you know, the Ten Commandments. And I've watched it many times, and it's always good to watch it again. And it's wonderful when you see Moses coming down from the mountain and he glowed. And the Bible even tells us in one scripture he had to cover his face because of the glory of the Lord was upon him. People couldn't look on him. Then when you think, when God was veiled in Christ, you could look on him. And he was veiled in Christ. Isn't that wonderful? It's a real mystery that God could do that. Now here we see this, that every Sabbath day the priest placed 12 loaves of cakes upon this table. And there's different pictures. I don't know if these pictures are accurate or not, because I think it could have been let out this way, not on top of each other. That's just my personal take on it. I don't think they're piled like that. I could be wrong. I think they were in like let out six in a row like this. And I have other pictures where they are let out like that. But this is just an illustration to tell you about these 12 cakes were laid out. And the loaves were baked in flying flour. That's what they were baked in. And they're spread in two rows of six, each in a row. And the flour speaks to us this evening of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. The corn, flour, and bread, while representing different stages of a total process, it all speaks of the food from heaven. And the food from heaven is, Jesus says, I am the bread that came down from heaven. He said, your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and they're dead, but I am the true bread which come down from heaven. So we see this bread speaks to us of the Lord Jesus Christ in John 6:51. I am the living bread which come down from heaven. If any man eat this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world. And then there's a wonderful phrase I don't want you to miss this evening in that service. Jesus didn't say, I'll give my bread for the life of the chosen few. But he said, I will give my bread for the life of the world. That's why John 3:16 reads, God so loved the world. The world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And the next verse, 17, says, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. It's not God's will that any should perish. You know, I'm going to say this, for I feel strongly impressed to say it. There could be somebody sitting here listening in, and you're thinking of somebody just now, and you think there's no hope for them. But I want to tell you, there is hope for them. Because Jesus should perish. And no matter how low a man or a woman can get, the Lord can still turn them, and the Lord can still save them. And you've only to look at King Nebuchadnezzar to see that. He ate the very grass the cows eat, yet God turned them. That's the power of our God. There was William Mullen, he was a trump for God. I tell you, it's some testimony. You know, he lay out one night and there was a frost, and he woke the next morning and the wee fellow beside him was dead. Stone dead, frozen to death. And later on, William Mullen was examined and they saw a scar on his lungs. And they reckoned on a frosty evening that William Mullen's lungs had bursted with a frost. But God had a purpose for him. And a work for him, and he saved him. That's the God we serve. Never look at somebody and think they're beyond God's reach. God can reach anybody. The Lord Jesus Christ was born of the Virgin Mary. Who the Virgin Mary was overshadowed by the Holy Spirit. She never knew a man. She was still a virgin after Christ was born. Did you know that? That holy thing which is born of thee is the child Christ Jesus. Come into the world to seek and to save that which is lost. He shall save his people from their sin. The angel said, thou shalt call his name Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sin. He was the true bread that came down from heaven. Then the very finest of the flour. Here it specifies in Exodus and Leviticus, the very finest of the flour. There was no plumps in it. There was no irregularities in it about this flour. And Jesus Christ is the perfect, sinless, flameless Son of the living God. Amen. He knew no sin and he had no sin. There's no bumps in him. Amen. There's no irregularities in him. He's not like any other man, for he's the God-man. Amen. Sinless perfection was in him alone. Amen. Hallelujah. What a Savior. Hallelujah. That's why this fine flour with no lumps or bumps speaks to us of Christ. John 8:46 tells us, which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? Also, there's someone else about this bread and this flour. The baking of the loaves required them to pass through the fire. That's what it required them. It required them to go pass through the fire. And this speaks to me and you tonight of the terrible suffering of Christ on the cross. Jesus Christ passed through the fire, as it were, on Calvary, suffered and died alone for me and you. Our brother Laurie prayed this morning at the end of our service how that Christ in Gethsemane prayed in such agony that sweats of blood come out from his brow and poured down his lovely face as he prayed in anguish for me and you. What about the 3 hours of suffering on the cross? When God turned his back on his own Son, when Jesus cried out those wonderful words, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Jesus took your place and he took my place in those 3 hours of suffering. He went through the fire for me and you. He suffered and died alone for me and you. Then the loaves were carried into the holy place. Here we see a beautiful type of the Lord Jesus Christ risen from the dead. The tomb's empty tonight. Christ is risen. Amen. Hallelujah. There's none in our mind you can say that about. You could pick me out, great men of God, and you could take me this evening to their tombs. And their bones are still in them. I believe we're saved, yes, sir, with the Lord. But their bones is in there. But the Bible says, thou shalt not leave my Holy One in hell. Neither shalt thou suffer him to see corruption. But he was raised up. And Jesus Christ was raised up on the third day, triumphant over death, hell, and the grave. He said, I have power to live and I have done a power to take it up again. This speaks to us of the risen Christ. Now I drink, not into the holy places made with hands, which were just a figure of the true, but into heaven itself. Jesus is not entered back into this earthly tabernacle of Moses is here, but Jesus Christ has entered into heaven itself. These are only figures of the true, but we're talking about the real thing tonight. And Hebrews 9:24 says, for Christ entered not into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of true, but into heaven itself. Here's the rest of it. Now for us. You have someone that appears in the presence of God for you. When the devil tells you that you're not worthy, when the devil tells you there's no hope for you, when he takes a stick and beats you down, you need to know that Christ stands for you. Amen. That Christ paid for you. Right. That Christ's blood has spoke for you. And it speaks today, and it'll speak tomorrow, and it speaks for all eternity, and it speaks redemption, and it speaks deliverance. Hallelujah. Amen. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. That's the word of God. Now I want you to see also these 12 loaves. 12 of them are placed on the table of showbread, and there's 12 tribes of Israel. There was not one tribe that was missed. I want you to get this. 12 tribes of Israel, none of them were missed. Every one of them was represented upon this table. And Jesus Christ, as the bread of heaven, represents every single one of us. There's not one of us missed. He's no respecter of persons, but he'll save all that'll come. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's the word of God. Also 12 speaks to us of 12 apostles. The 12 loaves stands for all the people of God. They represent the corporate company in its entirety. Not one of the tribes was unrepresented. The loaves speak to us today and point to the true Jesus Christ, our true and one and only representative. He's our representative, the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus Christ is now in the presence of God, and he represents me and you. Isn't that wonderful? I tell you, when the devil whispers something in your ear, you need to point them over to the Lord. Never worry about yourself. Amen. Self will fail, but Christ never fails.
Amen.
It's him I'm depending upon tonight, not me. Tommy McKinstry could fail. He'd let you all down, but Jesus will never fail you. Amen. The Bible says he's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. We have before the throne of Almighty God an advocate. I want you to get a hold of this evening. We have an advocate. Hallelujah. A great high priest. 1 John 2 verse 1 to 2. The epistle of John. My little children, these things write I unto you that you sin not. Here it is. And if any man sin, if you do sin, we have an advocate with the Father. You have access to the Father if you do sin. Jesus Christ the righteous is that access. Hallelujah. Verse 2. And he is the propitiation of our sins, and not for our sins also, but for the sins of part of the world. Your Bible never reads that. For the sins of the chosen few. Your Bible doesn't read that either. Your Bible reads the same as my Bible. For the sins of the whole world.
Amen.
Don't limit God's work, and don't limit God's atonement. That's enough. That's enough for the wee woman that thinks she's not coming. It's enough for the wee man sitting at the bar stool tonight that thinks he's not coming. It's enough for the wee girl that's lying in the gutter and thinks she's not coming. Jesus Christ works enough.
Amen.
And God can change and God can save. From the guttermost to the uttermost. Hallelujah. Our God is able. Mike, look at this word for one moment. Advocate. A person who pleads for or on behalf of another. Brother, you don't understand what I'm going through. Brother, you need a revelation to know. Whatever you're going through, there's a man in glory. A man in glory. A man that has been appointed to the highest position, far above all the Bible says. And he ever liveth to make intercession for the saints. He pleads your case before the Father. And he says, my blood's cleansed him. My blood's forgiven him. And when I see the blood, I will pass over there. Hallelujah. This is what it means. Propitiation. But Brother Ewell often prays that in his prayers. People wonder what the word propitiation means. It means to appease. Now you know the Old Testament sacrifices, they partly please God. Let me put it in them words. They partly please God. They never could bring perfection. And they never were perfect, because if they could have brought perfection and if they were perfect, there would be no need of another greater sacrifice. But there was one greater.
Amen.
hearts that the Bible says there never needs to be another offering offered again. But once for all, Christ was offered. Once for all. And there will never be another offering. This is a one offering for all time and for all eternity. A propitiation for our sins. That appeased God. Aren't you glad he appeased God? Hebrews 7:22-27 tells us, by so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament. And they truly were many priests because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. So the Old Testament priests continued for the season. But my Bible tells me that Jesus ever liveth. You know what that word means? He is continually living. He cannot die again. He never liveth to make intercession for the saints. Verse 24. But this man, because he continueth ever. Mark that in your Bible tonight. That's a wonderful scripture. Mark that. And you know what you want to do with that scripture this evening? When you mark that scripture, some people say you should never mark your Bible. Mark it all right. I tell you, I mark mine. So that my eyes will fall straight onto it. My Bible's full of marks. There's a mark on me too. It's the mark of the blood. And I'll take you back to the Old Testament. I'll show you with our mark on the right ear, with a thumb mark of the blood of Christ. The blood of the type of the old blood of the old lamb marked him on the ear. And you're marked by the blood tonight. The devil knows you. And the Lord knows you. You're blood marked. You know, that's what a prophet of God said. He's not looking for the particular breed. He's looking for the blood, the mark. The seal mark. Every animal that went through the gate, he said, had a seal and a number on it. And there's a seal of God. The Holy Spirit seals you. And it doesn't seal you for a week, but it says you're sealed in Ephesians unto the day of redemption. Amen. That's the seal of God. Oh my, I want to tell this to the devil this evening. But this man, because he continueth ever. Hallelujah. Have an unchangeable priesthood. Verse 25, wherefore he is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, saying he ever liveth to make intercession for them. So he makes intercession for you yesterday, today, tomorrow. He ever lives to do it. Amen. He continually does it. That's what I'm saying. Isn't it wonderful? For such an high priest became us. He was holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, made higher than the heavens, who needeth not daily as those priests to offer up sacrifices first for their own sins. That's one thing he never had to do. You see, when we look back at those old priests, the priest had to offer for himself, then he offered for the people. But we're not looking at a type, we're looking at the real thing here. This is the actual real thing. He never once offered for himself, for he had no sin. All the offering he done was for me and you. Isn't that wonderful? That doesn't put a step in your skip, or a skip in your step, whatever way you want to look at. There's something wrong with you. Puts one in mind, I can tell you the devil hates that type of preaching. Do you know why? It brings liberation. He wants God's people in bondage. He wants you can't pray. He wants you to keep your head down. Do you ever see people today that are like that? You go to bow to God. The Bible says, clap your hands, all ye people, unto the Lord. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Lift your up, ye gates, ye everlasting gates, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord mighty in battle. Amen. Hallelujah. Who needeth not daily as those priests to offer up sacrifice first for his own sins, then for the sins of the people. For this he did once. You should underline that too. Once. It doesn't say twice, once. There's preachers this evening and this morning as well, and Saturday night, they're re-offering him every chance they get, but he can never be re-offered. Amen. For he was offered once. Amen. And God said, that's it. It's done. And Christ said, it's finished. Once. When he offered up himself. I tell you, well, you're no longer working with a goat or the earthly lamb or the bullock or the turtle dove or the pigeon, but this is Christ himself. Superior. It speaks eloquently this, you know. When you think of the word showbread, the word showbread literally means, the word showbread bread literally means the bread of faces. That's what it means, showbread. And it speaks eloquently of Christ who shows his face in the presence of Almighty God. He shows his face on behalf of the absent people. Meaning he's not in heaven tonight, but the Lord is. And he's our representative. I tell you, talk about voting somebody in. I did vote somebody in. I voted a man in. I voted him in years ago. I voted him into my heart. I called him in, and he came in to stay. Amen. And he's the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I was showing Wednesday night, we need to pray for those authorities, so I'm not getting down that road. But if you go into Wednesday night's meeting, you'll hear, pray for those in authority. Pick the right people. And if you want peace, not the Bible. Amen. But I'm not a politician, I'm a preacher. And if preachers want to be politicians, let them at it. But I believe, like the old brethren, stay out of politics. Preach. Can't mix them. I don't believe in mixing them. It doesn't work. That's only my opinion. You could have a different one. That's good enough, but it won't interest me. He appears there for us. Exodus teaches us that the bread was to be always on the table. The Leviticus insists that it was to be before the Lord continually. And Christ is before the Father's throne for me and you continually. He says he ever liveth to make intercession for the saints. He's continually. These references, when taken along with the fact that the bread was replaced every Sabbath day, surely emphasize that he ever liveth to make intercession for us. That's what he does. Every day of the week, every hour of the day, this ministry is maintained. Now I'm not talking mine, I'm talking the ministry of Jesus Christ. And you know his ministry is unchanged. Don't ever let somebody tell you it's changed. When you hear a preacher telling you, you don't need this today and you don't need someone else, you know he's been in, and someone's got in there. That's true now. Because the Bible says he's Hebrews 13:8. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's unchanged. Amen. This ministry is the same. It's unchanged. He's praised for you. Who are at all times exposed, every one of us are at all times exposed to temptations. Every day of the week. Different temptations tempt. What could trouble you mightn't bother me, but what could bother me mightn't bother you. That's how it is. The devil knows your weakness and it'll work off. But you need a ticket to the Lord.
Amen.
Ticket to the Lord in prayer. Do you know why? Because he's the mighty conqueror.
Amen.
Behold the mighty conqueror. See him in plain view. I remember years ago when her sister Hazel Noble came over and sang that in our meetings many years ago. Anyone remember that? Behold the mighty conqueror. See him in plain view. Wonderful old song with such a truth behind it. Hebrews 7:25. Wherefore he is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. There's only one way you can come to God. It's not through the church. It's not through the preacher. It is through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is that way and only that way. And there's no other way. Christ is the only way.
Amen.
He says, I am the door. By me you may enter into the sheepfold. I am the door. There was one door in Noah's ark. One door. Into the ark. There was one gate or door into that tabernacle. One door. And Jesus Christ is the one door into heaven. There's no other door. Buddha and Muhammad are not the door. Jesus Christ is the one and only door to God. And here's the wonderful, beautiful thing about it. Whosoever will may come. Whosoever will may come. It shall come to pass. The book of Joel
Romans, the book of Acts, in the last day saith God, that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. There's provision tonight. I want you also to see the table enjoyed in Leviticus 22 and chapter 24. You can read about it in Leviticus 24, verse 8. Every Sabbath he shall set it in order before the Lord continually, been taken from the children of Israel by an everlasting covenant. It should not be overlooked that the showbread was placed on the table that it might be before the Lord continually. Because the Father can look at Christ, he is able to pardon us. That's why he's able to pardon us, because he can look at Christ continually. It's not looking at me and you, it's looking on him. The wee song says, look and live. Look and live. Hallelujah. Look, my brother, and live. Because the Father can look at Christ. The Bible tells us of these three vessels. My brother had a picture of them up earlier. That was in this holy place before the Lord. They were before the Lord. There's these three vessels, a table of showbread. That's your first one on the right. And the lampstand would light it before the Lord. And then the golden altar of incense before the Lord. Every one of them was before the Lord. Before the Lord means the Lord could look at them. They were continually before them. And Christ is continually before them. So we have somebody continually before the Father. So when we fall, when we sink, somebody's there continually for us. You need to get rid of this idea of being kicked out or thrown out. Because once you're truly saved, you're always saved. Born again means what it says. Born again. Of an incorruptible seed that liveth and abideth forever. God cannot lose what he saved. Jesus said that. None have I lost, O Father, that thou hast given me. None. Exodus 40, verse 23 and 25. And he set the bread in order upon it before the Lord, as the Lord commanded Moses. And he lighted the lamps before the Lord, as the Lord commanded Moses, before the Lord. Exodus 30, verse 7. And Aaron shall burn their own sweet incense every morning, and each rest of the lamps, and he shall burn incense upon it, and it was before the Lord. You know, it's really a great thing to see, isn't it? That each of these vessels represents something that was foremost for God. Foremost for God. This is what you have to see. It's not foremost for me and you. It's foremost before God. God can see it. And God sees Christ, and we're saved because of that fact. Not because he sees me or you. You never can put yourself up. It's not about I and me. It's about him. It's all about him. That's why it's not good to lift an old preacher up too much, because he's just a man. I don't care how good he is, he's a man. You're not called to preach any man, only Christ. Amen. No matter how good that man is. That man was a true man of God, he'd tell you. I point you to the Lord. Amen? I point you to Christ, that's what he would say. Paul said that I might know nothing else amongst you, save Jesus Christ and him crucified. He pointed you to the Lord. It is only as we're able to appropriate the degree of Christ's acceptance before God in heaven that we can grasp the measure of our own acceptance. We're accepted in him because Christ is accepted. That's why we're accepted. He's our representative from heaven. For we are accepted in the Beloved, Ephesians 1:6, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the Beloved. He's the one that done it for us, and we're accepted because of that. We're not accepted because of what we done. We're accepted because of what he done. That's why the gospel's simple. That's why any man or woman can come if they'll only come. There's nothing you have to do, only come. And God will stand like that with his arms open. Like the story of the prodigal son. It was his own brother across. His own brother took a bit of a fit. He said, this boy spent everything, ran his living leg, you know, he ate the husks, the pigs ate and all, and he's run about and done everything, spent his living and all the rest of it, and here you've cooked the fattest calf, and you've put fine garments on him and gold in his fingers. What are you playing at? I've been with you the whole time. But he says, he was dead, but now he's alive again. Amen. 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 It's the Lord that you're accepted in. Brother, I want to tell you, the night you're accepted in the Lord, the devil's lying to you. Who could eat this bread? But the bread of the table eventually became the food of the priest. That's what it was. This was the food of the priest. And none but the priestly family could eat the feast of this show bread. Leviticus 24 verse 9, and it shall be Aaron's and his sons, and they shall eat, and in the holy place, for it is most holy unto him, an offering of the Lord made by fire, perpetual statutes. This suggests a very practical side of the golden table. This is what it suggests tonight. Through believing, we have been introduced into the privilege of Christian fellowship. We've been brought into Christian fellowship. That's why Revelation tells us we're kings and priests unto God. We don't need an earthly priest down here to go before us, because we have a heavenly priest that represents us in glory, and he's continually before the Lord. And we can eat the heavenly manna from this golden table. You know, we did it this morning. You know, through believing, we have been introduced to the privilege of Christian fellowship, and sometimes it's called communion. We had communion this morning. But what is a Christian fellowship? It is illustrated in the priests of old as they found common and satisfying joy in the showbread, the joy in the showbread. And you and me should have joy when we feast before the Lord. Amen. And when you eat this word of God, you're feasting before the Lord. The essence of Christian fellowship is for believers to find their common joy in Christ. 1 John verse 1 verse 3, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. That's who our fellowship's with. It's not about a fellowship in the church. It's not about a fellowship in some building. Our fellowship's with the Lord. People follow places because there's big crowds, but is the Lord there? They follow places because of good music. Is the Lord there? I'm not worried about the music. I'm not worried about the crowd. Is the Lord there? Can I have fellowship with the Lord there? That's what I want to follow. As the showbread was before the Lord continually, we must have the Lord Jesus Christ before our hearts at all times. Psalm 16 verse 8, I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. When you set the Lord before you, have someone that upholds you. Someone that upholds you. And the psalmist David said, when he set the Lord before him, he cannot be moved. Psalm 16, verse 8. We become occupied with him as we seek his face in prayer and fill our hands with the service that we do in his name. Whatever you put your hand forth to do, do it as unto the Lord. That's what the Bible says. We feast in him. How? By giving ourselves to the Word of God. You might think I'm crazy, but my wife, we're married 26 years, and she can tell you I can go up in my room and spend hours in this book. And I love it. And I regret that I don't spend enough time, and I do spend time, but I love to get alone with God. Because I enjoy the fellowship with the Lord. And I feast on the bread of heaven. You see, we need to come into a real love relationship with Christ. Do you ever really love somebody? Now I'm talking about really loving them, that you can't get enough of them. There's no such thing. You walk every night to see them. You ever have that? You ever get a real good dose of love? Well, it's quiet in here now, but I tell you one thing, you need to get it if you've never got it. But you can have that with the Lord, you know. A real love relationship with the Lord. That's why the Bible says, restore unto me the joy of thy great salvation. The psalmist David had a love relationship. He had a joy with the Lord that he lost. He didn't lose his salvation, he lost the joy of it. But God restored him the joy of his salvation. Psalms 1 verse 2, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And his law doth he meditate day and night. We need to meditate upon the things of the Lord. Psalms 1 verse 2. Now I'm going to have to close in a moment. My time's going. But who could not eat of this? There's some that couldn't eat of this. But the showbread could only be enjoyed in the holy place. You had to come in to enjoy it. The people that's out there have never tasted it yet. They've maybe never enjoyed it yet. The unsaved have never enjoyed it yet. They don't know these blessings yet. But those of you that saved know the enjoyment of this table before the Lord. You know, I've heard some powerful statements over the years. You know, when I've went different places, he only preaches the gospel. He only preaches the gospel. Well, what does the boy preach that said that? What does he preach? For if he's not preaching the gospel, tell me what he's preaching. And a lot of people today don't preach the gospel, they preach a man. But it's not Jesus. And there's not one scripture in this Bible for you to preach any other man but Jesus Christ. The Bible says, if I be lifted up, Jesus Christ, I'll throw all men unto me. It doesn't tell you to lift nobody else up. It tells you to lift Christ up. Philip went down to the city of Samaria and he preached Paul unto them. You don't read that. You read that Philip went down to Samaria and he preached Christ. He preached Christ. He only preaches the gospel. I'll tell you one thing, God will have a star for him. And I mean that. But I don't think he'd have one for the fellow that's preaching somebody else. He's not doing what the Bible commanded. You see, people think it's too simple. They need someone just, you know, to make it more interesting. When the disciples preached, it was in simplicity and the power of the Holy Ghost. The preaching of the gospel is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us that are saved, it's the power of God. And even then, some were permitted to eat in the holy place. A priest might be suffering a defilement arising perhaps from within himself or coming from without. Such defilement, it needs to be cleansed. And sometimes as Christians we can sin, but there is a remedy for sin even for the believer. That's the blood of Jesus Christ. Don't fall down. If you've sinned, the blood lays there for you. You can come back and come to the Lord. And this Old Testament, it would have hindered them. It rendered them unfit to enjoy the holy things. Sin. Sin's an awful thing, you know. Leviticus 24, 4-7, you can read about it. I'm not going to bend it tonight because my time's gone. In some way, confess sin in believer's life. Unconfessed sin destroys them. As people never put nothing right, to continue on with it. They don't want to put it right. They know they've done wrong, but they never do a thing about it. The blood cleanses me and they make no action about it. But the Bible says we're to confess our sins, not to a man, to Christ. Here's my verse I'm closing with this evening. 1 John 1 verse 9. If we confess our sins, you can confess them in a room by yourself before God. You don't need to confess them to nobody else. Did you hear that? You don't need to come up and confess them before a church. It's the Lord Jesus Christ that's your man that stands before the Father. When you go in your room, just you and him, and you confess them to him, nobody hears it, only you and him, and that's all you need to confess to. In the Word of God, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Thank God this evening. Oh, but brother, you don't know what I've done. Well, you need to get in a secret place with God and you need to tell him about it. You don't need to tell me. I'm only a man. I remember going to meetings, and the meetings were going well. People were getting saved and healed. And there was a man there which had a big name. And he decided to needed to line the people up and confess to all the ministers. And they lined the people up and they started telling the ministers all their sin, and I rebuked the whole outfit. I'll be honest with you, blew up. And I took them to the side the next day, the ministers, and I said, what do you think you're doing? Do you think you're working with a Pope or Rome? Or an earthly priesthood? Who is any man to confess till greater than you? He could be 10 times a sinner of the man he's listening till. There's only one man you can confess to tonight. That's the Lord Jesus Christ, because the Bible says he's sinless. And I can tell you, when you're confessing to him, I'll tell you another thing about it. You'll not go out around the corner and tell it to your neighbor either. It'll be gone into the sea of God's forgetfulness, the power of the devil will be broke. And he'll say, thy sins and thy iniquities I'll remember no more. But you see, the God was moving and the devil wanted to get the move stopped. And that's how he done it. Men confessing to men. And one boy come up to the guy confessed to me. I got him stopped and said, don't want to hear a word of it. Blood of Jesus Christ cleanses me from all sin. I want to say to you that's listening in this evening, it's Jesus Christ that you need to come to. You don't need to come to some man that wears a collar or a cloak. Sure, he could be the biggest hypocrite underneath it. And it's Christ that's pure. It is Christ that's holy. It is Christ that died on the cross. Yea, rather that's risen again from the dead. Come to Jesus Christ. Come as you are. Come as you are, and the Lord will take you. Dear woman, the Lord will take you. Dear man, the Lord will take you. I remember the devil telling me he ended all. I was talking to a man the other day, he was close to suicide. The devil told him they end the whole thing. But the Lord had mercy on him. And he called on the name of the Lord. I tell you, when you call on the name of the Lord, the devil's power is broken. The tempter's power is broken. Hallelujah. Let's stand our feet and let's pray tonight. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're listening in this evening, maybe somebody I don't know, maybe somebody I do know, but I want to tell you this evening that Jesus Christ loves you. He loves you. And he can change it for you. He can turn it all around in a moment. All you have to do is surrender. Surrender to Jesus Christ. Bow before him in reverence. And call upon the name of the Lord. And the Bible says that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Heavenly Father, I thank you this evening for the gospel message. For this golden table. How it speaks of you, Lord Jesus, before the Father. Our great eternal representative. Lord, every one of us was in the gutter. But in love and mercy, Jesus came. Oh, wonderful Savior. He lifted us up, though in sin and shame. We thank you this evening that your precious blood cleanses us and washes us from all sin and from all unrighteousness. Father, I pray this evening that you will grant deciding grace to that man, to that woman. Lord, save them. Deliver them. Even in this room tonight, restore people. Bless them. Strengthen them. Touch all of our hearts. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. Amen. Praise God. If Brother Mark's going to come and I'm going to be seated. If there's any one person in here wants prayer tonight, I want you to slip up round to the front and myself or Brother John will pray for you as we come to the close of the service. And if anyone's listening in tonight and you do want special prayer, you can message me. to go on that app and message, and I'll see it, and I'll certainly pray for you. But I'd encourage you to read the Word of God. Go to John's Gospel and read it. Go to the book of Romans and read it. Read the Word of God. Keep a Bible in your house and read the Bible and pray, and the Lord will visit you. God bless you all.
Sing that 1305, Under the Burden of Guilt and Shame. Mm. And like Tommy said, anybody feels what need any prayer, come on ahead. And don't worry, anybody comes forward, the phone's going to be turned off. This is just for here, so it will be. It's not for going out over the airwaves. So it's under the burden of guilt and care, many a spirit is grieving. Who in the joy of the Lord makes sure life everlasting receiving? And maybe we'll sing the first verse, and then we can turn the camera off, and then we'll just be free after that.